If you hear in the background, Pastor Jay is stirring his coffee with my pen that I write with on a regular basis.
I'll give you another pen.
No, it's just, I'm just so thankful that you love me that much that you'll actually use my pen to stir your...
Brother, I'll use anything to stir my coffee and to make sure I get started.
Oh, that's so funny. No doubt about it. Good to have you with us, Pastor Jay.
Good to be here.
And glad to have you in the house today. And
good to get caffeinated.
Get caffeinated.
Yeah.
I like the new logo. What do you think?
I like it, too. I think it's pretty...
You designed that, didn't you?
With some AI help.
Yeah, it looks really good.
Yeah.
I put it up there today.
Cool.
Because I thought that would be really neat to introduce that.
Yep. I like it a lot. I think it really speaks to what's happening in our churches and what our hope and our goals are. I didn't realize that came unzipped.
I'm
getting dressed and everything this morning on the holiday.
He's running behind today. Bless his heart. It's so funny.
Good thing I looked over there. People would be like, what in the world are you doing?
I don't see any different. That's just the way you always look to me. I just never paid any attention to it. It's going to be a good show, no doubt about it. We're so glad to have you tuned in.
We better get to the Jesus stuff quick or we're going to spiral out of control.
You know, David Frampton never watches us, and he's watching today, and he's thinking, Lord. And
he's like, why in the world?
And it's hard to believe I'm their accountant.
Right.
It's like, what is wrong with you?
Sorry, David. We're really reputable guys. We just have moments.
Yeah, we do. We absolutely do. So it's glad to have you tuned in, David, as well. And
good morning.
Good to have everybody with the Pulse Church, and glad to have you tune in. We're talking about Psalm 119, and this is Pastor Jay's message. On Fridays, what we do is we bring him in, and we ask a bunch of questions about the sermon that he preached the previous week, and he's on a topic, it's your turn. And so where did this topic come from? Because we're going to cover parts 1 and 2 today. And so where did this all start?
Well, I think in the church today we have a lot of complacency, but then when there's not complacency, we have a lot of people just really wanting to jump in with both feet, and I think we see in the Old Testament, but I think we also see examples in the New Testament of how God takes us through a maturation process and growing in the Lord. Growing in the statutes and in the mindset of God, whether you call that a mindset, whether you call it a kingdom, or whatever that is, God has a particular thing that He's looking for in His servants, you know. And you know, Jesus spent 3 years, or the better part of 3 years, teaching His disciples, serving as a rabbi, as well as a savior. In order to show what the intent of the kingdom of heaven really is. If we look back in the Old Testament, we see David, who spent a lot of time alone with God in the fields and while shepherding, who used that time to seek God and grow in God and understand the ways of God more than, you know, just jumping on a stage or just grabbing a mic or just, you know, doing these things. And I think, you know, I think sometimes we see a lot of failure in the pulpit. And I'm speaking from experience. I'm not pointing fingers. When I was a young preacher, I was doing a lot of revivals, and I spent a lot of time with mentors. And I had a specific mentor who was older and you know, starting to have some health problems and everything else. Well, he wanted to push me in as pastor at the church where he had been serving, and promising that he would be there. And I'm like, I'm not, you know, I'm just trying to figure out how to preach. I'm not ready to pastor a church. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so, you know, I fasted and prayed and sought the Lord on it, and I just didn't feel led to do it. And so I said no, and he, you know, he got very angry with me and so forth. But then, you know, the association that I was a part of at that time, you know, their maturation process was essentially go sit and serve under someone for 2 years, and you know that's part of your ordination process. And if those people served as masters and teachers like Jesus did, then I think the premise of that was good. Unfortunately, what it turned into, not for just for me and others, is it turned into a show up, preach occasionally, and go home.
Right.
Right. There was really no, you know, there was really no instruction. There was really no development. There was really no pointing to the kingdom of heaven. And so what I think Psalms 119 really does for us is it really causes us to take a step back and take a good look at ourselves, take a good look at God, and grab hold of the required elements and the statutes of God. You know, in those first 16 verses, all that is spoken of is understanding the statutes of God. You know, make your statutes my obedience. You know, David's wanting to step into a full understanding and a full depth of who God is, right? David's not wanting to bring himself into the kingdom, but he's wanting to create a posture of being godlike, being Christlike, mm-hmm. and stepping into the kingdom in that authority. And I think that's so important in our churches today, because unfortunately we're in that just do you culture, you know, not only in worldly things, but even so much in the church. We're in a very much a just do you culture. And I believe that we can become too traditional and become overly religious. But I also believe that we can become overly spiritual, you know, where we hyper-spiritualize everything. And understand that sometimes our bad decisions, our dumb moments, are simply dumb moments because I did dumb things, right? It's not a spiritual moment, right? It's not a time that we can say, well, you know, we justify it with God here and we justify it with God there. No, sometimes we just do dumb things. Sometimes we say we hear from God when we don't really hear from God. And so what I'm really hoping to get across as we get deeper into this, because the next phase of this is obedience. And, you know, what we're really pointed to in Psalms 119 is this magnificent God who has orchestrated everything and who invites us into that. And for us to fully get it, then we have to understand the depths of God. We have to understand his statutes, and we have to understand why his word is his word. Why does it matter for us? You know, he tells us repeatedly in various ways to meditate on the word day and night, you know, to beckon ourselves to the word in every manner and in every way. And, you know, and I think there's a lot of people skipping that part, right? And you know, I'm not a big believer in emotionalism, right? And I think we've got a lot of that. And I think, you know, I grew as a Christian because finally I realized I wasn't getting it anywhere else. And so I locked myself in a room. If I wasn't working, if I wasn't at church, I pretty much locked myself in a room with a whole lot of coffee. And I read and studied and made notes. Again and again and again, and still to this day. You know, I deep dive into the Word still to this day, and it's still teaching me things, still showing me things about myself, still showing me things about the church, it's still showing me things about God that I didn't pick up on before. And I've read the Bible through a lot, and he's still revealing things to me. And as he reveals things to me, it gives me the opportunity to become closer to him. And as I become closer to him, it gives me the opportunity to better represent him. And, you know, that's the ultimate goal. That's the ultimate thing. So this idea of it's your turn is, you know, it's not a whipping post. It's a, man, it's your turn. I want you to grab hold of everything God has for you.
Yeah.
But this is the way you do it.
Right.
Right. You don't do it in all of these surface ways, you know, that the world is attempting to do it today. You know, 5 minutes of preparation and, you know, talking from the heart rather than talking in the spirit.
Right.
You know, and we know that the heart is what?
Wicked.
Evil.
Yeah.
It's wicked. It's inherently wicked, Scripture says. So, you know, I don't need a lot of talking from the heart. I need a lot of talking from the depths in a relationship with God. And for it to really become our turn, for us to step into the full glory of God, then that's what it requires. Sorry, that was a lot. But.
No, do you think that, okay, like for an example, we live in a TikTok age.
Yep.
Okay, compared to the deep dive that we talk about. And then we also, you know, those years of spending time. I mean, I did the same thing. And that's one thing that you and I parallel with is like when I was 18 and I knew that there was a call, you know, that was on my life. You know, I would lock myself in my room and I would do like you did. Mm-hmm. And my friends thought I was, you know, too religious.
Right.
You know, and my friends, you know, so because there's sometimes I couldn't go around running around with them. I was like, you know, Saturday night and I'm in the Word, you know.
Yeah.
But then.
Yeah, I had friends worry about me.
Yeah.
Know? Dude, you need a girlfriend. You need to be dating. I was like, nah, I'm good.
Yeah.
And good right here.
And all the years that we've known each other, I did not know that until one time that you mentioned that. And I thought, wow, you know, that kind of parallels together. But but you need that time. And so, you know, the time that David spent, you know, with God, and I don't know if it's there today in society.
And understand this, David was anointed to be king.
Right.
I mean,
yeah.
You know, and so when we really examine the maturity of David, right, look at all the crap he put up with Saul.
Yeah.
You know, but, you know, I see a lot of fruits of the spirit in David's behavior and in how David reacted to that and how David long suffered that period of life because, you know, he could have been the guy that walked up there sword and stave and said, I've been anointed king and I'm taking you out.
Right.
Right. And because of God's favor,
yeah,
he could have done that. But here's the thing. You know, there's a phrase that's kind of made its way around a lot. I've heard it from a lot of different places. I've seen it online. I've even seen memes with it and everything else that says favor isn't fair. And I don't believe that.
Right.
I don't believe that because favor just doesn't come.
Right.
Right? God doesn't just flip a coin and say, oh, I'm going to favor John Fowler.
Gotcha.
It's not how it works. Right? What works is God sees you. What does God say? Or what does Jesus say? The Father seeketh such who worship him in spirit and truth.
Right.
Right? So the Father is looking. He's searching. He's looking for individuals right. worshiping in spirit and truth. And worship can take on a number of different things. That can be scripture reading, that can be prayer, that can be worship in itself, that can be all of these mechanisms that bring us into a deeper relationship with God. So the Father is seeking those.
Right.
And when he finds those, he bestows favor. If we look back in the Old Testament and everything else, and we say, well, God just picked Moses. No, he didn't. He examined Moses. He examined Moses' life, and he chose Moses based on a cultivation of Moses' heart.
Right.
Where he felt like Moses could do the job. You know, he didn't just pick Noah. He observed Noah. He didn't just pick Mary. What did he say about Mary? Right?
She was favored.
She was favored. Yeah. Amen. Why was she favored? She was favored because she did it right.
Right.
She lived her life right. She didn't... You know, she didn't present herself in perilous ways. She presented herself according to what God was looking for. You know, we look at, you know, we look at Job. What did he say about Job? Job is upright in all of his ways. What is he saying? I've been watching Job.
Right.
Right? And I found Job. Right? And because of his uprightness, I've bestowed favor upon him. So I don't believe you just flip a coin and get favor, right? And I think that you know, I think if we're preaching that, then I think we're really doing God a disservice. You know, we're doing ourselves a disservice because we're really cheapening what it is that God does for us when we come into a deeper relationship with Him. So, you know, if you see that meme, ignore it. If you see those things, ignore it. Instead, you know, this mindset of it's your turn.
All right.
Dig into the Word. Go to a deeper relationship with God. You know, worship Him in spirit and truth. Meditate on His Word day and night, because guess what? When you do those things, God finds you. Mm-hmm. And then God favors you. And then God uses you. You know, and it goes back to, and I've preached this for 3 years now. It seems like I can't get it out of my mouth because God just keeps bringing it back. You know, deny yourself. All right. So if I'm meditating on the Word day and night, what were we doing in those periods?
Denying.
We were denying ourselves.
Yeah.
We were denying the flesh. Yeah. Right. And what we were also doing was we were removing ourselves from the influence of the flesh. Right.
Yes.
But we were denying ourselves. Right?
Right.
And by denying ourselves, God gave us a cross, but in giving us a cross, He prepared us for that cross.
Right.
Right. And that's the real point of these last 2 weeks is the preparation. Being ready, not ready mentally, not mentally, physically, you know, I grew up in a lot of tradition, and so I felt like, you know, I had to have suits. You know, so I had aunts and uncles and moms and everyone else buying me suits. Oh, I'm a preacher now. I got to have suits.
Yeah.
Well, no, you don't. You know, that's just tradition is what it really is, and so forth. And, you know, when you step out of tradition, those in tradition think about you differently.
Right.
But you know what? I'd much rather have the favor of God than the favor of tradition.
Yeah.
And you know, that's something that we learn, and that maturity and that boldness comes not from self,
yeah.
Right? Doesn't come from anything within me, because I deeply realize I'm unworthy of what God has even, I don't care how much I've studied. I don't care how many times I've read the Bible through. I don't care how much I meditate on the Word day and night, or how much I worship, or how much I pray. I'm unworthy save the blood of Christ.
Yes.
Right? And so I think, you know, it helps us understand where we are and where God is. And that's why the denial, these arrogant mannerisms and arrogant attitudes and arrogant language, all of that needs to leave, you know, those who are truly favored. And I think that comes through, you know, through this time. So when I say it's your turn, I'm saying, man, do it right.
Right.
Do it right. Grab hold of all that it is that God said to do, because there's purpose in that. And when you do it, there's favor.
That's
in
good.
That. So,
well, let me ask you, because it goes back to something you said, and I looked the scripture up. Jeremiah 17:9. Jeremiah 17:9 says, this is King James, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" Now, New Living Translation says the human heart is the most deceitful of all things and desperately wicked. Who really knows how bad it is?
Yep.
Now, here's a question. When you accept Jesus into your heart, does this change? Do you wicked anymore?
I believe that the blood of Jesus takes what's red as crimson. So all of our sin, all of our choices, all of our lifestyles, all of our things that has brought us to that spiritual moment of salvation. And He wipes the slate clean, white as snow.
Amen.
Amen. And at that point, it's up to us. He gives us a clean slate. He purifies our heart. But we stand up and choose. Do I serve God, or do I serve mammon?
Right.
Right. Can I continue in, you know, my wicked ways? You know, the Apostle Paul says, you know, am I free to sin? You know, sure. You know, but it God forbid that.
Right.
You know, God forbid that lifestyle. Why? Because God's calling me into something better.
Right.
Something bigger. Something greater. So I think the heart has a transformation. And, okay, the theologians are probably going to say, man, that's really crappy stuff because it's not eloquent and it's not, you know, rehearsed and all of these things. But I'm a firm believer that the heart is a tool of the flesh.
Right.
Right. And we're driven by the heart.
Right.
Right. And the heart is evil. Right. Well, I believe at salvation, we're drawn of the Spirit, right? So we are now introduced to the power of the Holy Spirit in our life.
Right.
Right? It's leading in its direction. So that maturation process has everything to do with us no longer listening to the heart, the fleshly heart.
Right.
And walking in the Spirit.
I got you.
Right? Because if we're still walking around as Christians saying, well, I'm going to follow my heart, well, then you've not been transformed. You know, what does the Bible say? Be transformed by what? The renewing of your mind. Well, where does renewal come from? It's of the Holy Spirit.
Right.
Right? So I'm not going to be renewed as long as I continue to rehearse the things in my heart.
Right.
Because my heart's evil. When I begin to rehearse the things of the Spirit, I begin to think the things of the Spirit and everything. Well, how do I do that? Right? Because I'm not a spiritual creature.
Right.
Right? I'm an evil creature, saved by the grace of God.
Right.
Right? So how do I make that transformation? By meditating on the Word day and night, by understanding who God is, by understanding spiritual things.
Right.
Because when I begin to understand the Word of God, which is living, the Word is living, right? Yeah. If it's not living, then these prophecies aren't still going to be fulfilled. It's a right. living Word. It is alive. Right. It is at work in the world and in our lives today, right? So when I am given to the Word of God, which is a living Spirit given to us to bring us into the face of God,
yeah.
right? I'm learning how to become spiritual.
Right.
And as I become spiritual, as I walk in the Spirit and do the things of the Spirit, right? And especially the fruits of the Spirit. I said this past week, you know, don't come to me bragging about your gifts.
Right.
You know, if you haven't grabbed hold of temperance and if you haven't grabbed hold of long suffering and if you haven't grabbed hold of these things that the fruits of the Spirit we require, because what you're going to do is that gifting is going to possess you, because you'll start to think of yourself to be something when you're nothing.
Right.
So there's an ongoing struggle for us to put the heart away and become spiritual. So I don't know if that really fully answers your question. I think the heart, I think the sin of the heart is wiped clean by the grace of God.
Yeah, right.
But I believe that the heart is a fleshly tool, and that it, you know, it can ultimately still lead us away from God.
Because the heart itself, here's what the definition of wicked means: evil or morally wrong. So when you think about that, it goes back to dying to self.
Yep.
The heart has to spiritually die, so to speak, and
right.
allow the Spirit of God, the heart of God, to override our heart and to have His way.
Amen.
Yeah.
Perfect.
So,
and that's what that spirit man does.
Yeah.
Right. Because when, you know, Paul talks a lot about this in his writings, when the spirit man becomes stronger than the carnal man.
Right.
Then what we start doing is we start transforming the heart.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
And because, you know, I know it does talk about the heart in the later parts of the Old Testament or New Testament and everything and so forth. But what's happened in that is that spirit man has stood firm and that fleshly man has transformed.
Right.
So you can transform your heart
right
into the things of the Spirit. But it takes a spirit man to do that.
John Sandy says that, you know, when a person says, "I can't stop an addiction," he said, "I guarantee if somebody held a gun to your head, you would."
Yeah.
I mean, think about that. And it's like, it just depends on what you want to let reign.
Yeah.
You know, and, exactly. And to put it in control. Now,
it's a good analogy.
It kind
because
of
you could have rain, R-E-I-G-N,
right.
Or rain, R-A-I-N.
Oh, that's good.
You know, the doom and gloom can rain
right.
on you, you know, pour down on you, or you can allow God to reign
in you,
rule in your life.
That's
and
good.
Everything else. Yeah, you might have a sermon series there.
There you go. No doubt. I like that. When you open your mouth, it should have fruit attached to it.
And that, absolutely.
That goes with the phrase that you said. And this was in part one that you said that. And I like that. I thought, yeah, because we have the fruits of the Spirit. You know, I did a podcast yesterday on a road rage Christian. And, you know, what kind of things, you know, tick you off? What kind of things get you out of whack? And then, but if we're allowing God to reign in us, then our flesh isn't going to have much say. Because
yeah.
the flesh
it's
is not
in
saved.
Charge. It's not in charge anymore.
Because the flesh is not saved. And a lot
say
of people
that
forget
again.
The flesh is not saved.
Say it again.
The flesh is not saved.
Say it again.
The flesh is not
that,
saved.
That is a tweetable moment, and we need to understand that in the church today.
Yes.
The flesh is not saved. I like it.
And so, and I think a lot of people forget that. And so we can't, and our emotion is in our flesh.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, this right absolutely just makes perfect sense. My mentor, James Ashworth, used to teach me this, and it was foreign for years.
Yeah.
I mean, I sat with him for 30 years, and it's like, you know, learning dying out to flesh and all this kind of stuff. And in Romans chapter 6, and it's like, whoa, you know, this is big
yeah.
stuff, you know, that you have to get a hold of. But if you get there, and you know, none of us could ever say we've arrived.
No,
you know, even
no.
but even at some point where he begins to work with us and where the favor of God kicks in. So it's almost like there's a prerequisite to favor.
Yeah.
You know?
Some of us walk around, to your point, some of us walk around feeling so good about ourselves and so big about ourselves
yeah.
and so accomplished in ourselves that I really wonder how hard it's going to be for them to bow at Jesus' feet.
They're going to, yeah.
Because they've ultimately become their own Jesus.
Yeah.
You know, nothing they do stinks. Nothing they do is wrong. Nothing they do, you know, my way is the right way, and everyone needs to bow down to it.
They live at the
right?
foot.
And you know, we've got a lot of those, you know, people in the church today and everything else. Man, I don't know that I've ever graduated to that. I've put a lot of time into this. And here's the reality. The more time I've spent and the more time I have relinquished to God, the more unworthy I realize I am and the more unworthy I realize I was.
Yeah.
Right? And so if you see someone operating spiritually,
yeah,
and they're operating from a place of arrogance.
Yeah.
Then I don't think they've really mastered anything.
No.
Right?
Yeah.
But you find, you know, that's why I say the fruits of the Spirit matter.
Yeah.
Right? Because here's what happens. I was anointed. There was zero doubt I was anointed. My first message, I'm standing up there preaching it, and I'm thinking in my head, holy crap, where did this come from? You know? I mean, there was a power on me that I had not felt or experienced or embodied ever in my life. My very first message, I had people leave the church that night going, wow, my own father, I didn't see this coming, right? And everything else like that. You know what happens? People start patting you on the back. People start telling you how awesome you are.
Yeah.
People start telling you how much it means to them and everything else. And guess what?
Yeah. Goes to your head.
You start to, you know,
oh.
head, and I have a big head anyway, right? Physically. and you know, but this starts to swell,
yeah.
right? And when this starts to swell, that spirit Yeah. How much harder of a time does it have getting to the heart?
Right.
So it's not going to transform the heart.
Right.
If anything, it's going to embolden the heart, yeah. and you're going to operate from a place of self
yeah.
more than from a place of spirit. Right? This is everything Paul talks about in like you said, in Romans and throughout the New Testament, is Paul is constantly telling us that the carnal man has to surrender.
Right.
Right? And for us to become spiritual and allow that spiritual man to transform our heart. So yes, I love it, John. The flesh is not saved.
Yep. Look at what Galatians chapter 5 and 22.
I love me some Galatians.
It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Now, one interpretation in verse 23 will tell you that it's self-control. Mm-hmm. And what is self-control? It means to control yourself. Mm-hmm. And how much of that today is lacking in the church today or in the world today yeah. of self-control? Because I believe, Pastor Jay, if people could get self-control, then there's going to be love. Then there's yeah. going to be peace. Then there's going to be long-suffering. And a lot of this it's not unconditional, but it's conditional. I'll love you if you, I'll have joy with mm-hmm. you. I'll have peace, you know, but it's got to go my way. Yeah. And, but I love Galatians chapter 5 and 22 because it goes along with what you're saying.
Well, absolutely. And if you look above that, you know, he leads us into, this is what God is looking for. Remember that worship in spirit and truth thing,
right?
You know, the fruits of the Spirit is what God is looking for, that spirit and truth
yes.
encounter with God.
Right.
Right? What he rejects are the works of the flesh.
Yes.
You know, which is in verse 19 and 20 and 21. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. He doesn't just wrap it up in those.
Right.
He's like anything that is akin to those.
Yes.
And such like. Anything like these.
Yes.
Right? Of the which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Why? Because you're not walking in the kingdom.
Right.
You're not embodying the kingdom. You're still choosing the heart.
Right.
And not choosing God. And the heart, what, John?
Is
not
saved.
Saved.
The heart is not
the
saved.
The flesh is not saved.
It is wicked.
And it is inherently wicked. And so until your heart is transformed, you can't be subject to your heart. It's wicked right. above yes. all ways. And I had a friend tell me one time, well, I'm just going to have to follow my heart. And I said, well, that's a trip I'm not going on.
Right.
I said, what do you mean? Yeah. I said, well, your heart's wicked.
Right.
I said, I don't want to go where your heart takes me. Now, you want to walk somewhere in the spirit, I'm right. down.
Yeah.
But I could care less what your heart wants.
Isn't it amazing?
And they were like, well, I know what you mean by that. Right. Now, I mean what I mean by that. I'm not interested in your heart. Right. You know, I'm not interested in my own heart.
Right.
You know, and that's what some people don't understand is, you know, I don't have the luxury as a pastor. I'm going to answer for what I provide spiritually, what I spiritually provide
yeah.
the congregation. I'm going to answer for what I spiritually provide the community.
Right.
I'm going to answer for what I spiritually do with the gospel of Jesus Christ to those entities.
Absolutely.
I don't have the luxury of allowing some man-made jargon
mm-hmm.
to pattern that.
Right.
I don't have that luxury.
That's good.
Right? I don't have the luxury to wait. I don't have the luxury to sit back and cross my legs and twiddle my thumbs and feel good about myself. I don't have those luxuries, John.
Right.
When we choose the gospel and we choose the ministry of the gospel, we lose those luxuries.
Right.
Right? And so from that point forward, it becomes about the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Right.
In ourself, first of all, in our home, second of all.
Right.
In our church, third of all, and in our community, fourth of all.
Yes.
That's it. That's the priorities.
Right.
From that point forward, that's the priorities.
That's so good.
Right? And so we have to grasp that.
Yes.
Right? If we're gonna pick up this mantle and if we're gonna carry the yoke of Jesus.
Right.
Right? And aren't you thankful he helps hold us?
Yes.
With that yoke and helps guide us with that yoke and gives us peace in that yoke.
I made a comment one time from the pulpit. I said, the things that you get away with, if I did those things, you'd be ready to crucify me. But it's okay for y'all to do it. But the preacher can't. But here's the key. We're all in ministry. You know, just because we stand behind the pulpit doesn't, I mean, we're accountable just like everybody else.
Absolutely,
is.
More so.
Yes, and then, but the people in the stands, so to speak, you know, it's like there's still accountability there.
Yeah.
And I think one of the things that you said in part two of your message, it's your turn, is the Word of God keeps you from sinning. And it does.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, it's like, and you know, I know this is foreign to people, but your goal every day should not be, okay, it's like I got to brush my teeth, I got to comb my hair, you know, I got to go to work, I got to go do this, I got to do that. Oh, I have to make sure, I got to get sin in there too. Mm. You know, I have to make sure that I do that. And that is absolutely so false, and I hear this so much, well, I'm not perfect. This has nothing to do with perfection. This has everything to do with walking with Jesus.
Yeah.
And as we walk with Jesus, we're going... A praying man, here's what Leonard Ravenhill said. He said, a praying man will stop sinning, and a sinning man will stop praying.
Yeah, very true.
And how true is that? Yeah. And so, I mean, it goes back to what you said with David. How much time are we going to get away and spend time with God? I mean, even Jesus did it.
To your point, it's a great point. And I love that quote from Ravenhill. You talk about some rich reading.
Oh, I've got in my book bag there, Jay. It's Why Revival Tarries.
Yeah, yeah, that's a good one.
And oh, yeah. I hate that book. and here's what I mean. I say that sarcastically.
No. I get 100% where you're coming from.
I will read two or three pages of that book, and then I have to get away from it. I mean, I carry it around.
Yeah,
and it's like, okay, I think I can read a little bit of it today.
Here's
it wears me out.
Yeah. Here's, you know, two things I want to say, and I'm trying to let the Lord tell me which one's more important. To your point about the Word of God will keep us from sinning.
Yeah.
Is, and I tried to make this point in my message, but I think I kind of squirreled and got away from it. And you know, I love 80s rock music. Grew up on it. I love 80s rock music.
More than a
still to this day. Please don't. No, I'm just kidding. You know, still to this day, I love 80s rock music. But here's what's happened over the years.
Yeah.
Right? When I'm younger, I'm into the groove of the song. I'm not really paying attention to what the song means.
Yeah.
Right? And I'm just into the rock and roll and the version of it and everything else. And I'm just enjoying life. I've been to the rock concerts, everything, enjoying life and everything else. Well, now that I'm older, every once in a while, don't freak out, people at home.
Yeah.
Every once in a while, maybe once a month, I instead of playing my worship music in the background at work, I'm thinking, this is an 80s rock day. I'm going to put some music on.
Right.
So I put my 80s rock music on. The playlist comes up, and it starts playing. And I'm sitting there, and I'm working, and the song's kind of going through my head while I'm working and everything else. And I hear a lyric, and I'm like, oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably should take that out of the playlist.
Right.
And I go in, and I remove that song from my playlist. Why? Because it's promoting something
Yeah.
adverse to being that spirit man, yeah, and walking in the spirit and crucifying the flesh and being that carnal man. Now, is listening to that song going to send me to hell? No. Right. But what that song can, not saying it will, but what it can produce in me, thoughts, evil heart, fleshly desires, etc.
Right.
Those things can send me to hell.
Yeah.
Right? And so it's like, man, do I want the manifestation of God's word and the spirit that comes with that to have full influence over my life?
Right.
Or do I want to nibble a little bit on this?
Yeah.
Right? Nah, I'd rather remove it.
Yeah.
Right? Even though it was a cool groove.
Right.
I'd rather remove it than to be influenced by it.
Yeah.
Right? And, yeah, so that's what I was trying to do with that point about the rock music, is in myself, 30-some years into this,
yeah,
you know, I'm still removing things from my life.
I got you.
That I don't want having influence over me.
Yeah.
Anymore. And that's, you know, I think that's part of the maturation. That's part of the self-denial. That's part of all of that. Because my flesh is like, no, I love that song.
Yeah,
but you're not important anymore.
Yeah,
so just
flesh.
Sit down and shut up, flesh.
Yeah.
You're not in charge anymore. And yeah. I don't care about your opinion.
Right.
Right? And so forth. Here's the other thing I was going to say to your point about prayer.
Yeah.
You know, or technically Ravenhill's point about prayer. I can tell
mm-hmm.
when someone starts to step in to deeper spiritual things.
Yeah.
By the way they pray.
Wow. Yeah.
I can listen to how someone prays, and I'm not tearing anyone down. Pray.
Yeah.
Pray the way you pray. Pray.
Right.
Pray. Pray, pray, pray. Yeah. Right? I don't care what it sounds like. I don't care how it looks. I don't care if it's perfect. I don't care if it's sloppy. I don't care what it is. Pray.
Yeah.
But we've both seen those people who are praying, and they start praying like they always do.
Yeah.
And then the power of God takes over.
Right.
And they pray a completely different kind of prayer.
Yes.
Right? I can always tell by that kind of spiritual manifestation on someone that they have stepped into a newness.
Mm-hmm.
They have stepped into a different spiritual paradigm, so
right.
to speak. Paradigm is probably a poor choice of words, but you get what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. They are creating new depths.
Yes.
In their spirituality, not in their knowledge, not in their understanding, not in their education,
mm-hmm.
but in their spiritual depths.
Yes.
And you know, so I love to hear pray, not to judge. I'm not judging anyone. I'm not saying that, you know, the sloppy prayer mm-hmm. that is any less effective. God hears that prayer and the heart behind it the same as he hears the other prayer. But man, when we pray in the spirit,
yeah,
and we pray from the spirit,
mm-hmm.
right?
Oh,
completely
yeah.
different.
Yes.
Completely different than when we pray ourselves.
Yeah.
Amen. And, you know, I think it matters.
Good. Yeah. One, we have about 3 minutes, and I've got to ask you this one. It's okay to attend church sick and broken, but you should leave healed and delivered. Here's the question. When does the transition take place?
I think it's different for everyone. Yeah. You know, I mean, we don't know what the brokenness is.
All right.
You know,
how long
some,
they've been broken.
Right.
Yeah.
Some people's brokenness and trauma, you know, it can take years for God to fully penetrate those walls. And
yeah.
we're not talking salvation. We're talking healing now.
Yeah.
Right? And it can take years for God to fully penetrate those walls and make a new creature out of that
yeah.
person. It can. And, you know, and I think that's why discipleship matters so much. But discipleship, and I'm always hesitant about discipleship, especially someone molded by tradition.
Yeah.
Because if we're not careful, we'll mold people right into the same traditional traps that we're living in,
mm-hmm.
right? And we bind that person.
Yeah.
Right? If you're going to disciple someone, You need to disciple them from Psalm 119.
That's good.
Right? You need to disciple them from the book of Romans and the book of Galatians. You know, disciple them into the spiritual things.
Yes.
And away from the fleshly things and the traditional. Tradition is a tool of the flesh.
Right.
Right? And you know, the flesh is a tool of the heart. Right?
Absolutely.
So what's tradition? It's evil.
Yeah.
Right? Why?
Tradition.
Because it comes from the flesh,
yeah,
which comes from the heart.
Yeah.
And so I think, you know, I'm always super careful when someone says, well, we need to disciple them. Yes, we do, but not in this crap.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
They don't need discipled here.
Right.
They need discipled here. Right?
That's
and
good.
For you to disciple them here, you got to get here.
All right.
You got to be here.
Yeah.
You got to operate here.
That's
right?
So
you know, it can't be a 5 minutes of preparation and then I'm just going to sit here and tell you what I think.
Right.
And that bores me to death. I can discern that in 5 or 10 minutes. No. You pour yourself over the word.
Yeah.
And draw yourself into closeness with God.
Yes.
And I can tell. I mean, a huge difference between winging it and sure, walking in the Spirit or preaching in the Spirit or praying in the Spirit and those kind of things. And you can ask my boys especially, but those around me.
Yep.
I'm a big don't wing it. Don't wing it.
Mm-hmm.
No one's got time for that.
No.
And so yeah, I'm a firm believer that yes, the church is a hospital. I'm all for that. But if we're only a hospital, we're failing.
Yeah.
Our goal is to be a house of miracles.
Amen.
Our goal is for the redemption and the healing and the completion of human beings that put their faith and trust Jesus Christ. You know, so we can be a hospital.
Right.
But a hospital's job, well, I don't want to get political, but these days a hospital job is just to medicate you and get you out of their hair and everything else. But back in the old days, the hospital's job was to make you well.
Get you better.
Right. And yeah, if our goal as a church is just to be empathetic and to pat people on the back and leave them where they are, we're not really fulfilling the will of God.
My God. Yeah. That's so good. It's Pastor Jay on It's Your Turn, parts 1 and 2. And coming up is part 3. On Sunday.
Yes.
No doubt. And
start talking more about obedience.
There's some people, North Carolina's watching today.
What's up?
Hey.
Tar Heel State.
Absolutely. Bishop Donnie Robinette's watching today.
Hey, and Brother Pastor Donnie. Love you, buddy.
Pastor William Baker's watching today. I love him.
I don't know that I've met him.
Oh, he's a great guy.
Yeah,
you got to meet him.
Right.
GB's watching today.
Hey, GB, praying for you, man. He's got pancreatitis, been in the hospital.
Really?
Since last Sunday, yeah. So he's been in a lot of pain.
Jesus.
So, yeah.
Well, Father, we pray healing,
Jesus,
in the name of Jesus right now for G.B. Lewis. And, Father, mm-hmm, God, we just curse pancreatitis.
Yes.
We curse that in Jesus' name.
Yes, Lord.
And we pray healing in his body.
Jesus.
And, Lord, we thank you. And we curse the spirit of infirmity.
Yeah.
Thank you for your touch in the name of Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. No doubt. Well, we just pray for a great report on that. Donna is watching today, and Christy's watching today.
Hey, guys.
Dr. Christy, hey, you, and Gary's watching, and glad to have you all tuned in to the Pulse WV Live.
Gary Fridley?
Yes.
Man, Gary, we're going to have to talk, bud.
You going to have to talk?
I'm just messing. I love Gary.
That's so funny.
Love me some Gary.
Yeah. You got any final things?
I'm good.
You're good? Have a great day, everybody. Thanks for listening and watching the Pulse WV Live, a network that beats to the heart of God. And before we go, we want to give you an opportunity. First of all, we want to thank all the ones that do give to this ministry. And we could not do it without you, and we thank you for it. And so 3 different ways that's on the screen that you can give. Text the word PULSE to 1-304-244-3187. Go to thepulsechurch.com and give through PayPal. And check out the website while you're there. Or you can mail your love gift to to 5368 State Route 34, Winfield, West Virginia, 25213. Thanks for listening and watching the Pulse WV Live, a network that beats to the heart of God, and have a great day.